The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this new week. We have our pre-opening report now with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released its December WASDE report. It looks like this for ending stocks in the U.S. corn, 935 million bushels, soybeans, 565 million, wheat, 438 million bushels. Global ending stocks are seen like this: wheat, 120.74 million metric tons, corn, 92.74 million metric tons, and soybeans, 55.72 million metric tons. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. Midwest direct hog markets today are expected to be steady to 50 cents per hundredweight lower. Terminals are called steady to $2 lower amid perceptions of weaker packer demand. Tops from $40 to $42.50. Peoria called a dollar lower today with a top price of $40. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, December 8th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,162. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $51.50 to $65.01. The weighted average, $60.75, a gain of 52 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $41.90 to $51, the weighted average, $48.75. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 14,527. The base price range was $51 to $64.75. The weighted average, $61.88, a gain of 15 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, bales and gilts sold from $41.50 to $51.25, and the weighted average was $47.99. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. First off, we'll go on down to South America and take a look at what's going on down there. Rain did fall in about the northern two-thirds of Brazil's crop area over the weekend, with rain totals between 1 and 3 inches in Mato Grosso do Sul and from a few central Goiás locations through a large part of central Minas Gerais. Rainfall extremes reached over 7 inches, in fact, almost 8 inches, in northeastern Minas Gerais near the Espírito Santo border. Rainfall elsewhere ranged up to 1 inch. Very little precipitation of significance occurred from Paraná southward in through Rio Grande do Sul into Uruguay. High temperatures over the weekend, actually Friday and Saturday, were 80s and lower 90s. They did warm up a little bit on Sunday with highs in the middle 90s. Across Rio Grande do Sul and Bahia. The drier, biased weather in far southern Brazil not likely to go away through the middle portion of this week. Rain chances may improve late this week and during the weekend, but no general soaking precipitation is predicted for that area. Argentina saw rainfall across about 35 to 40% of their crop region during the Friday through Sunday time period, with rainfall ranging up to just under a half inch, except around Cordoba City, where they did pick up 1 to 2.25 inches of rain from the strongest thunderstorms on Sunday. No precipitation occurred in Santa Fe, Entre Rios, and most of La Pampa in the northern cotton-producing areas. High temperatures, upper 80s and lower 90s, with Sunday being the warmest day. Rain is expected to fall frequently late this week through most of next week. The wet weather will assure no pockets of dryness start to occur in Argentina, but it will interfere with late-season planting and some of the routine field operations. Wet weather might also present some threat to the quality of the maturing winter grain in Argentina. In other areas, rain and a little bit of light snow fell in China's crop areas starting on dawn Friday through mid-morning Sunday in the Yangtze River Basin and a few Yellow River Basin locations. Moisture totals were generally under a tenth of an inch in the Yellow River Basin, while varying from a few hundredths of an inch to just about a half inch in the southern Henan and Sichuan provinces, and also in through Zhengzhou, south to the interior southeastern provinces. Temperatures quite cool in the majority of the east central interior southeastern China, where highs were only in the 30s and 40s. And there is a tropical storm, and again, I'll just butcher the pronunciation of Utor, or its remnants may eventually bring heavy rain into southeastern China, but not before the weekend. If that storm does manage to swing northeastward towards southeastern China, there might be some very heavy rain. However, the jet stream may shear the storm apart before it has a chance to produce much of the rainfall. The storm was moving at towards the northwest at 9 miles per hour. Maximum sustained winds were still around 86 miles per hour, and speeds over 74 occurring 25 miles out from the storm center. Australia saw some scattered thunderstorms over the weekend in central Queensland, benefiting the sorghum and cotton areas there. Rainfall reached 1 inch, although most areas reported just a few hundredths of an inch to around 0.4 inch. Coverage nearly 30% in Queensland's summer crop areas, but most of the moisture was too light to induce much change. The remainder of the nation was dry, with warm to hot conditions across most of Australia. In South Africa, crop moisture stress remains serious in unirrigated areas of western northwest and in the Free State. Rain must fall in these areas soon to protect production potentials. Rain is also badly needed in northern Limpopo. And quickly looking at the U.S., in the western states, light rain and showers affecting the northwest into the central Rockies. A few heavier showers spreading into the Pacific Northwest. On the plains, mild weather melting much of the remaining snow cover, although winter wheat is benefiting from the improvements in soil moisture. And northwestern Oklahoma to southern South Dakota. Western South Dakota remains quite dry due to long and short-term precipitation deficits. As far as the Corn Belt, mild weather prevails, although a few rain showers have already developed in central areas, including Illinois. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 507, up a half last trade, up one. May, 510, down a half last trade, down a half. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 470 and a quarter, up one and a quarter last trade, up one and a quarter. March, 486, up a quarter last trade, up three and a quarter. December corn opened at 353, down one and a quarter last trade, up three. March, 368, down a half last trade, up two and a half. January beans opened at 656, unchanged last trade, up five. March, 669 and a half, down three quarters last trade, up four and a quarter. January soybean meal opened at 187.80, down 30 last trade, up 20. December soybean oil opened at 28.42, up 14 last trade, up 20. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we had WASDE numbers out this morning. Did anything catch your eye?
No, there's not a lot. You and I were talking about the soybean meal, how they dropped ending stocks on soybean meal. Most of that came from a reduction from last year and might provide some underlying support to soybean meal. But other than that, everything else is pretty much in line with what the trade was looking for. Not a change made to the U.S. supply and demand reports on corn or beans. Soybean oil was up a little bit on higher oil content coming out of the beans and what they were previously using. World numbers are a little bit higher on world numbers across the board, corn, beans, and wheat. So if anything, maybe you actually take a little bit of a negative twist off of it. That maybe these guys want to continue to try and work their way just a little bit further south here ahead of the new year. I still look for these spec funds to take a little bit more money off the table here as we go into the new year. Not to say that this isn't really even good for the market to try and retrace just a little bit and get set up for sometime after the first of the year a new round of buying to come back in. Dave, the market just feels a little bit tired to me. It has. We lost roughly 20 cents a bushel in corn last week. And I think the market's a little bit on the tired side, and they've still got this AIG, the different index funds that are misaligned with their positions, that the fear is that they're going to come in here and sell corn and wheat in particular to try and realign their positions. So on the day-to-day, I think you trade both sides. I think we may try and start 1-2 better on corn, but I'd look for selling to come in fairly quickly on both corn and beans as we get started.
Therefore, at the end of the month, what lines will hold?
Oh, I think that you'll get down here and try and fill the gap. Like in corn, you've got a gap on March corn that runs from 354 down to 347.5. I don't see us doing much below that gap. I think that we'll try and hold that kind of a number. On the beans, it'll depend to some extent what's going on down in South America. We very quickly turn our attention now to the South American crop. There is some thought that the dome of high pressure in Rio Grande that's been holding moisture out of there is getting ready to break down a little bit. If we start seeing rain in Rio Grande, the rest of the country's in pretty good shape.
And over at the Merck today?
Hogs, decent kill last week, of 2.1 million head. And right now it just looks like this cash market is a little bit on the heavy side. So I'm going to go with a mixed call in hogs, feeling like the week could end up being a little bit on the weak side for hogs.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. All the key WASI numbers on our website right now. You can go and look at them at WILLAG.org. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 9:01 Central Time.